Still somewhat unclear, and we're having a lot of discussions about it this morning. I'm trying to figure that out. You know, I think Craig said after the game yesterday that, you know, the hope was that it would be, you know, really quick. You know, he's still feeling fine, but we don't want to push it at this point. So we're you know, having those discussions and making those decisions. He's obviously not in the lineup today, and we'll just keep monitoring over the next few days. But I do feel like, you know, there's a we're weighing it. We're weighing the benefits of getting him in the lineup, but also, like, really trying to be cautious at this point, because the most important thing is that we have, you know, an elite Kyle Tucker heading into the home stretch here. That's the most important thing, and that's what we'll focus on.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Hall, Bruce Levine. We are at the Rally House in Geneva. You can find your local Rally House at rallyhouse.com. Don't forget the online website, open 24/7, 7 days a week, all kinds of cool stuff. Bruce, that was Jed Hoyer, who joined us in the 11 o'clock hour talking about Kyle Tucker. And Jed said that they are waiting another day, buying themselves some time. There's some risk involved in that. What's the reward? What's the potential reward? Why are the Cubs compelled to want to wait an extra day to see if they can avoid an injured list?
Because they can. They have a full roster with expanded rosters. So you have an extra man. They have an extra bat in the lineup in Carlos Santana. So they can mix and match him at DH, at first base. They can have Suzuki, who's played a pretty good outfield this year compared to
better
two previous years.
Better.
Yeah.
I don't know about pretty good. He's been better.
I don't know.
He still is a little bit shaky. Wouldn't you say shaky?
I wouldn't say Tucker came as advertised defensively.
I think that's an interesting observation, too. He has not been the defensive outfielder I think many people thought that he would be.
Now, some of it we attributed to being banged up by hitting walls, hitting the ground, but certainly not the gold glove that we heard about. You know, he has a gold glove, but his arm has been short lately. I mean, they've been taking advantage of him, you know, taking an extra base, scoring a run. So
one more question on the lineup before we move on, because I want to – you mentioned Santana, and with Tucker out and Santana there, they chose Willie Castro to play right, and Suzuki is the designated hitter. They could have just as easily made Santana the DH today and Suzuki in right field. Why do you think that was not the choice? Matchups or something about keeping him on the bench for a late inning pinch hit?
Yeah, I don't think Council is sure how much Santana has right now, okay? And he was off for a week, came back. Council apologized to us for him being in the lineup. That wasn't fair to him after missing a week that he put him right in. He wasn't – basically, he's telling us, hey, he wasn't ready to face big league pitching. So I think there's some of that.
I could understand that, especially seeing
– he got released.
I know, and he made the final
out. He's 39.
I know, when that was obvious the other night when he made the final out in the game, when he could have made an impact.
And so Council's evaluation hat is always on.
It's a heck of a time for an audition.
Well, I mean, he didn't sign him.
All right, so he did not sign him. That was Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins, and we heard from Jed on Kyle Tucker. Let's hear from Craig Council, who addressed the Kyle Tucker situation a few minutes ago at Wrigley Field to the Cubs media.
Yeah, I mean, I think – you know, that's how you manage it. You know, that's what we're dealing with is we think we have time to let this heal without putting him on the injured list. We think he'll be ready before, like, what an injured list would cost him. And we also, with having the extra player in September, feel like we're not playing short, really. So don't feel like from a roster perspective we're in, you know, it hurts us at all. So I think you put all those factors in, and you know, we're still going to be conservative with it. You know, because today felt like we saw improvement today, we think it's worth just basically taking a day-to-day tract with this.
That was Craig Council at Wrigley Field.
So what does improvement look like? You're going to ask me, right?
I'm going to ask you that eventually. I was going to point out first that they are at least on the same page. The messaging is consistent. The wording is similar. You are playing the Cubs have agreed that it's okay to play with an extra man because, or down a man because they have an extra guy. September allows them the flexibility that you don't have the rest of the season. I get that, but and I think it's probably wise, especially if the player is not wanting to go out for a 10-day stint.
Now you're talking my language.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to, right? Fist fight in a good way. Everybody's on the same page. I want to play. We want you to play, but we want to protect you against getting hurt so that you don't miss the entire playoffs, right? If you blow your calf muscle right now, mm-hmm. it's 6 to 7 weeks, okay? He's done, right? We already saw it with Tyone. He missed 7 weeks, right? Long time.
That was a long time.
Yeah. So, again, calves are tricky. Obliques are tricky. Hamstrings are tricky. Soft tissue injuries are tricky.
The question that we asked several hours ago to begin this show here at the Rally House in Geneva, can the Cubs win without Kyle Tucker? And we posed it in the postseason form. I think that you can win a three-game series without Kyle Tucker because you're playing at home and it's a wild card and you're against a team that you should beat. It gets much more difficult when you move on to the Brewers and you have that series in the NLDS. And then whoever you play, the Dodgers or the Phillies in the NLCS, if you were to get that far, I think that's when you need to be at full strength. You can win a playoff series because it's a lightning in the bottle type of reality. Variance is huge in those series, and I think the Cubs can do that. Moving after that, though, that's why you need him healthy for October.
The IQ of Tucker's at-bats are extremely high. He walks as much as anybody. He's discerning. He's starting recently to hit the ball out of the ballpark again, hit the ball deep, hitting gaps. So that version looked like it was returning, you know, for him over the past 2 weeks. And with that in mind, I want to know what version of him are we going to see coming back if he's hobbled at all by the calf injury.
I take the version that we have seen since they gave him the forced vacation. I'd like to see that version, the locked-in, reinvigorated Kyle Tucker, who was doing enough to justify batting second, playing right field, and being the guy that you thought you were getting and saw for most of the first 2 months of the season.
They want to see that too, and that's why they're fighting him to not be in the lineup for now.
Interesting.
And they do have the luxury of having other people to go to. My contention is, over a long period of time, going into the playoffs, they are mightily weakened without him being a part of the lineup going into postseason.
312-644-6767. What do you think? Can the Cubs win without Kyle Tucker? What are the dynamics they're considering in making this decision moving forward? Paul is in Valparaiso. Paul, welcome back inside the clubhouse.
Hey, fellas, great show as always. I wanted to talk about the win, but this lineup drives me crazy. David, I agree with you. They're winning because of pitching. It's not because of the council's lineups. And, I mean, I wish you remember the movie Moneyball when Billy Bean trades Carlos Pena, so he's got to play Hatteberg. Arthaus got to play Hatteberg. Could they do something? Why will he not play Owen Tate?
Hatteberg's retired.
What's that?
They can't get Hatteberg.
I know. We want to play Owen Casey, though. He's a guy who can hit the ball through the wind if the wind's blowing in. Why won't Council play Owen Casey? Please, tell me.
Paul, that is an excellent question. That is an excellent point. Bruce, I know the dynamics now. You sent him to Iowa. You can't bring him back unless there's an injury. But the question would be the quick follow-up. Why did you send him to Iowa? This is confusing.
And there's no spot for him.
But you created that situation as an organization. Which Owen Casey are we looking at? Is it the guy who was too valuable to trade at the deadline, which justified you standing pat and not going to make a big deal? Or is he the guy who isn't ready for prime time, so rather than give him at-bats in his 11-game cameo, give him 23 at-bats, you're going to send him back to Iowa where he can do more good by getting some more action? It's very confusing. You talk about player development all the time, and I believe in the way that you look at it. This is not the way to develop your future power hitter.
I don't agree because you want the guy to be getting at-bats, okay? Not coming to Chicago and sitting on the bench. Wasn't doing him any good.
So get him at bats.
Right.
So
well, find now a way. You might have that opening because if Tucker's not ready,
well, now he
might
does.
Have that spot.
Now he does. But my point would be back when you called him up the first time, when he's replaced Kyle Tucker in the lineup for that doubleheader, and he was starting to feel more comfortable as a major league
sitting?
Hitter. Well, you're sitting Suzuki.
How often?
Maybe you platoon him. Maybe you give Ian Happ a day off. Maybe you configure your lineup as the $8 million a year manager that you are in a way that lets you play the guy that the front office thinks is so valuable that it can't be traded at the deadline. I get Paul's frustration. As a Cub fan, you feel some of it because the
Ian Happ's the hottest Cub out there.
He is now, Bruce. Recency bias. He is now. You go back a month. Go back when we were having the conversation about what to do after the deadline with Owen Casey, who was too valuable to trade.
Don't drink that top 100 Kool-Aid, okay? It can get you in trouble.
I'm not a prospect hugger. I'm not one of these guys that just falls in love.
We don't trade.
I love the idea.
We don't trade the top 100 because we love the guy or we didn't get enough back.
Okay.
Right?
But Paul did sort of touch a nerve there because I totally can relate to his frustration over the handling.
Casey
of
was
Casey.
Traded, by the way, last year to Philadelphia.
No, he wasn't, Bruce.
Yes,
it didn't happen. It didn't
he
happen.
Was.
I know what you're going to say. It didn't happen.
Right.
The Lizardo deal did not go through.
Right. To Miami. Right. He was going. That was the trade. So if they thought so much of him then, they felt, well, we're getting a top pitcher for our rotation. We're going to make this trade.
But that's not right. August 1st. Context is everything.
There was no top pitcher to be purchased at the trade deadline this year.
You remember when we interviewed Owen Casey? Fine young man.
Yes.
Remember when I said after that, I hope we don't talk to him again. Because
right.
if they would have made the deal, they might be in a different situation now. But they didn't make the deal. I still like where the Cubs are sitting. But it is a little bit confusing because I think it's conflicting in the way that they have dealt with their top prospect.
The managing that we do as fans and media people as opposed to what Council does is that the dynamic of it is totally different.
Well, because we don't have the full information he has.
No, we don't have the relationship that helps the player go out there and perform every day.
We don't have that either.
Right.
But he also is armed with more information, so there might be reasons that we don't know about. That's the beauty of it. We have fun speculating, responsibly, hopefully, but he has the information at his disposal that we just aren't privy to.
The automatic player who goes out there and performs like we think he should according to the numbers,
mm-hmm.
on that particular day, there's a likelihood he won't be that guy. Right?
That is true.
There's a real good likelihood he's not going to be there that day. Why isn't Pete hitting 4 home runs today? You know, why did Suzuki strike out again? Why isn't he the same player he was 6 weeks ago? So that dynamic with the manager is so different, you know, where the belief in the player that's gotten you to this point of being 5 games ahead in the wild card, of being the top 3 or 4 teams in the league, that dynamic's missing for us.
True. No doubt about that. 312-644-6767. Back to the phone lines. Jim is in Edgebrook. Jim, welcome inside the clubhouse.
Fellas,
hey, Jim.
Thank you for having me. Hey, good afternoon, guys. Bruce, if the wild card started tomorrow, could you name your top 3 pitchers? And is Tyone in the mix?
No. So it's Horton, it's Imanaga, and it's Boyd. And if it's a left-handed dominant lineup, I'm starting Boyd. If it's a right-handed dominant lineup, I have to consider Horton. And forget about all the other things that you know. Just look at what you have right now. Who's the best pitcher? What's the best lineup? Okay? We're not giving any way pat-on-the-back awards for having been good 6 weeks ago or 8 weeks ago. I go with who is pitching the best now, what gives us the best chance to win game one.
Well, then why would you start Matthew Boyd over Cade Horton? That's contradictory. There's no way you
is
would
it a
think,
right-handed hitting lineup?
Is it
a left-handed hitting
has
lineup?
It mattered with Cade Horton? Has it mattered?
It's going to matter
it
going
hasn't
into
mattered.
A playoff game.
It may not. Not if he continues to pitch as dominant lately as he has since he was brought up, frankly,
I'm not worried about hurting anyone's feelings.
I'm not worried about hurting his feelings. I'm worried about winning games.
No, anybody.
It's
any
about outgetters.
Right.
I don't know if you heard, Bruce. Right. It's about getting outs.
It's
outgetters.
About winning game one. If it's game two, then you have to use all your pitchers.
I think that regardless of the lineup,
every pitcher,
whoever they face, if the season started, if the postseason started tomorrow, you're starting Cade Horton against any lineup, lefty heavy, whatever, because he is your best pitcher and he gives you your best chance to win game one. And in a three-game series,
it's a great argument.
You've got to win game one.
I don't disagree because I don't see the rookie pitcher in him when he's facing big league lineups right now.
You've gotten to know him, and your interviews with him are definitely they reflect that. So you know this doesn't come. He does not come across as your ordinary rookie. This is somebody who is poised. He's confident, and he's mature beyond his years.
You know, it could be a young Kerry Wood. It could be a young Jack McDowell. It could be a young Tom Seaver. I brought up Seaver's name to somebody, and they almost choked. Because why would you be comparing this young rookie pitcher to Tom Seaver? I said there's some similarities in the way that he throws the ball and his mechanics and the idea that he believes the one thing that I have privy to is understanding the belief of the player in himself when I talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
That to me, that's huge, okay? Is it false bravado or is it this total belief that I'm a great pitcher and none of these guys
sound like fake
are going to
hit me? It doesn't, really.
No.
And I think he carries himself in that clubhouse like a guy who understands that he is a rookie, that he doesn't really have this sort of persona. He doesn't exude anything diva-like.
The moment has not gotten too big for him. Hoyer told us how shocked and surprised and happy he was that we're telling this kid every game, we're only going to give you 75 pitches, and how well he's managed that to getting five or six really good innings out of 75, where a lot of young pitchers you tell them to, and they wouldn't get out of three or four.
He's handled it well.
The number has meant nothing to him. He's just going out there and loaded up the strike zone and dominated lineups.
I would only correct you slightly. I don't think that he has pushed back, and I think that says a lot about the kind of character he has and competitor he is. But I do think he's taken it. He's processed that information, and he hasn't ignored it because he knows he has 75 pitches. He
asked for that sixth inning.
He wanted to go back.
Yes.
He said he was kidding. Do you think he was kidding?
No. He said he brought it up to council, but he knew he was going to get turned down.
So they
the competitor said, I got another inning for it.
They will listen to Kyle Tucker when they have conversations about what to do with him, but they won't Cade Horton.
You know, the number is, you know, we've talked about it before. It's voodoo. It's just voodoo. It's just like there's no metrics to support what your number is for this kid.
I think that's a pretty educated guess, though. I mean, Jed Hoyer would tell you that the baseball industry doesn't know what those numbers are, doesn't know how to handle innings limits and pitch counts and all of those things. It's a fair point.
I mean, I believe the one thing we're missing, and I texted Layla this the other day when they were having this same conversation on the Midday Show. I said, the one thing we forget to talk about is looking at that pitcher that day. What do you see out there? Is he showing stressful pitches, throwing stressful innings? Is he walking the first batter of the inning? None of those things have been there for Cade Horton. He's just been lights out. He's been that good.
You mentioned the Midday Show. Mark Grody officially joins Raheemy Harris and Grody Monday. They'll be talking Bears-Vikings leading up to kickoff at Soldier Field. And before Chicago takes on Minnesota, you can tune in at 4 o'clock until 5:40 for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. Yeah, it's back. Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, they'll join Spiegel and Holmes to get you set for the big game. Then immediately following that game, Olin and Pat will have instant reaction with the Swirsk. Chuck Swirsky will be doing the postgame show, Onions, presented by Timber Tech Decking and Railing and Arturo Tire. Gabe Ramirez, our guy Gabe, Chicago Gabe, who then continue the postgame reaction all night, overnight, midnight until 5, and then it'll be the pregame show, Mullenhall pregame show with Dustin Rose, and then we'll have the reaction Tuesday morning on the Mully and Haw Show. All of it can be heard right here on The Score and the free Odyssey app.
If I needed an analyst or a bodyguard, it would be Olin Kreutz. Yeah.
He could do both those jobs
well. I would feel totally protected, and that it's the right guy.
We'll be back to close things out. Bruce is our closer. We're here at the Rally House in Geneva, inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse, live from Rally House in Geneva, with David Haw and Bruce Levine on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome back. Beautiful Saturday afternoon now. We've been here since Saturday morning at the Rally House in Geneva, talking Cubs, talking White Sox, wrapping things up. We've had quite a show, Bruce. We talked to Derek Lee. It's his day at Wrigley Field, Cubs Hall of Fame weekend. Sammy Sosa had Friday. Derek Lee has today. Tomorrow, they both are honored. We talked to Dansby Swanson. We talked to Ozzie Guillen and also Jed Hoyer, who brought us up to date on the Kyle Tucker situation. Cubs and the Nats. 12:45 pregame right here on The Score. Matthew Boyd against Brad Lord. Bruce, I think that your guy Matt Boyd has to have an outing that reminds us of how dominant and consistent he was earlier this season. I don't think we've seen that the last couple times out. I think we have rationalized what he has done in terms of the numbers. And he's like, okay, those last couple starts have not been up to the caliber that he was earlier in the year.
A victim of circumstances.
In what way? The weather? You're going to bring up the weather again?
Colorado.
Okay. I know it's a Colorado thing.
So Colorado is talked about as this great home run park. Mm-hmm. It's actually the easiest singles park in baseball.
Why is that?
Because everybody has to play deep.
Okay.
So there's singles and doubles more than home runs there. And he was a victim of that circumstance there. Balls that fell in that normally don't. If you're playing in another ballpark.
Bruce, that's fair, but I'm looking at, all right, that was the Rockies. He gave up 4 earned in 6 innings.
His command has been off. He's been walking a few people.
What's your excuse for San Francisco?
I don't have excuses. I just have remedies.
5 1/3. He gave up 5 earned runs.
Keep the ball in the ballpark.
He gave up 2 homers that night.
Keep the ball in the ballpark.
I love Matthew Boyd. He's a great story, but if we're going to talk about Cade Horton and the pitch limit that the Cubs have him on, you have to acknowledge that Matthew Boyd is at he's at 153 or so
right.
innings.
Yeah, you're 100% right. There's no question that the innings load might be getting to him at this point, considering a couple of years ago Tommy John mm-hmm. and just coming back last year, having limited but good innings, being a big part of the Cleveland going into the playoffs last year. But they might be getting there. And if you notice, though, they've done a really good job of separating his starts over the second half.
They really have.
You know,
extra days, at least six. Tell me this. How are the Cubs thinking about this? Jameson Taillon is going to be back in the rotation early.
Do we know
this
that?
This week. We can assume that.
We know he's not going in the bullpen?
Why would you do that? That's a good question. That's what I was going to bring up. Why would you take a starter for all of his career and use him out of the bullpen? Wouldn't you more likely take Javier Saad, who's been very good for Craig Counsell? I think Counsell really likes Javier Saad, and why wouldn't you? Or Colin Ray, who's more of a swing guy. I don't think you want to mess around with Taillon at this stage of his career by saying you're going to come out in the second or third inning because he's never done it before.
I don't like the idea about Saad. I agree with you. You're right. He's shown that he can do both. But he's doing a really good job as a starting pitcher right now. Why would you mess with that?
Why would you mess? You leave him there. I think he potentially is going to be
so
more.
Where does Taillon fit in?
I think he potentially, Assad we're talking about, is more valuable down the stretch than Jameson Taillon. But I think Jameson Taillon has earned the benefit of the doubt. Here's my pitchers. I'm going with, obviously, Horton, Boyd, Imanaga, Assad, Taillon. Colin Ray can be your swing guy. Thank you for a great effort this year. Thank you for exceeding expectations. One of the best bargains on your staff. But now you need him to be the bulk guy. Really what he came here to do. That's more in line with what he came here to do. You have 5 starters. You're going to need all of them until you finish. You go in the postseason. Everyone's going to be coming out of the bullpen. That's when Taillon has to adjust.
And that's why you pay Craig Counsell $8 million a year.
We have a texter that says Craig Counsell has no feel for pitching at all. I don't agree with that. I think he's done a really good job. I think with this bullpen.
The bullpen, the way they brought – think about that bullpen going into the season. And which one of those guys that they had was a sure thing in your mind?
I'm not sure they had one. I don't think they had a sure thing.
They didn't.
And it is a point well taken.
So how do the pitching people and council have done a really good job?
It's a point well taken.
It's a great job of veterans. You know, Theo Bar might be the best pitcher in the National League never talked about.
He's definitely got one of the best stories.
Yeah.
If either him or Pomerantz.
They didn't have a left-hander the previous 2 years at all.
Right.
I mean, they were searching around. This guy has been phenomenal for him.
More than any – I say this, and there's definitely proximity to the Cubs makes me say this. I can't imagine another team that has better success converting failed starters into relievers than the Cubs have.
Yeah, they've really done a great job.
Look at Aaron Civale is the latest example. Pomerantz. You mentioned Brad Keller.
By the way, your pacemaker went off a couple times. Just wanted to alert you. You know,
Bruce, you do get me worked up.
As a friend.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. I think I'll cancel the workout today.
No, I mean, they have done a phenomenal job, and I don't think they get enough credit for it. But Cub fans aren't worried about credit right now. They're worried about getting into the playoffs.
They're worried about getting into the playoffs and staying there.
I mean, the last
it's
2 years.
It's not just enough to get in. Let's face
for
it.
For Cub fans,
next
the last 2 years have been really tough.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
You want to win a postseason series.
The failed 2023 team when they had a lead in the wild card in early September.
I was waiting for you to bring that up with Danzy Swanson.
Yeah.
I was waiting for you to bring that up, but you didn't.
Well, I mean, they just fell apart, you know.
They did.
The closer got hurt, and that was the end of it.
And he ran out of gas, and he played too many games. Yes. That was part of it.
So did Nico. They were just – their tongues were hanging out literally at the end.
Bruce, we have a ton of people to thank here today because we're going to get out of here and make way for the Cubs pregame show right here on the Score at 12:45 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. We've had a lot of fun at the Rally House in Geneva. Ryan Porth has come out to help us out, and he has been running the show. And we have a lot of other our guests that you lined up to thank.
Derek Lee, of course, going into the Cub Hall of Fame. We thank Jed Hoyer, the Cubs president of baseball operations. Dansby Swanson joined us from Wrigley Field. Ozzie Guillen on the White Sox. David, you, our great production people here.
C.S. Henderson, thank you for being here.
Our support staff, thank you so much.
Yeah, all the promotions people came out and made us have a lot of fun.
And the people here at Rally House, phenomenal. There's no reason in the world why we shouldn't be coming out here and doing this again.
I think that's a good idea.
Yep.
I mean, Rally House is a lot of fun, and you can find your local Rally House at rallyhouse.com. Don't forget the online website is open 24/7. Get your Caleb Williams jersey.
Take this with you.
You can take your nameplate with you, Bruce. And 7 days a week, Rally House will let you get whatever jersey you want. You can get an Illini jersey because they played Duke today. That's a big game. What's the score? I wonder if anybody knows the score. A lot of good football today. A lot of good football Monday night. But next, it is Cubs pregame right here on the Score, 12:45. We've got the great Dustin Rhodes. Yes, Bruce, Dustin Rhodes doing the pregame today because Zach is in for Pat with Coombe. It's going to be appointment radio.
I'll be joining him.
The soundtrack of your summer. You're on your way to Wrigley. Thanks for everyone for coming out, talking baseball. Thanks for listening, most of all, to Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.